Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Maines, for that introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at some of the conference messages that were given last April 2013 in downtown Salt Lake City. And oftentimes when we look at the conference messages, one of the things that is emphasized over and over is the necessity of Latter-day Saints to be obedient to the commandments. And certainly this general conference included many talks from various leaders, and that certainly was emphasized. We're first of all going to look at a statement by Gordon Hinckley that was given by
President Thomas Monson. And you're right, there were four or five different talks here that talk about obedience, and nothing could be clearer than his title called Obedience Brings Blessings. And in the middle of his talk, and I'm looking at the Ensign magazine from May of 2013, which has all of the talks included there, he quotes Gordon Hinckley, the previous president, and Hinckley had said, "The happiness of Latter-day Saints, the peace of the Latter-day Saints, the progress of the Latter-day Saints, the prosperity of the Latter-day Saints, and the eternal salvation and exaltation of the people lie in walking in obedience to the counsels of God."
Lest a Mormon listening to this be confused at where we're going, we are not saying that God does not bless when someone is obedient. Certainly that's been the topic of many Christian messages. Certainly God wants to bless as we obey and we follow his precepts. And we know that there are several precepts and principles that as New Testament Christians we should follow. Certainly it should not be our goal to purposely want to go out and commit adultery or murder or to steal or to lie or things like that. We're not saying that there aren't a certain amount of things as Bible-believing Christians that we will want to follow, that we want to live a certain way. But when he throws in exaltation,
that's it, eternal salvation and exaltation.
Yes. There is where we would say, wait a minute. Yes, we want to keep the commandments. Yes, we should keep commandments in the New Testament. But our success at keeping all those commandments does not have any bearing on whether or not we are justified. Paul makes it very clear in the book to the Galatians that we are justified by faith. We are saved unto good works, according to Ephesians 2. There's the big difference there.
Two talks later, Apostle Dallin Oaks gives a talk called Followers of Christ. And he goes on and talks about how baptism and repentance and keeping the commandments are important. But I'm going to read this section and see if you would agree with it, Bill. On page 97, the first full paragraph, "As Jesus taught, those who love him will keep his commandments. They will be obedient." He goes on and says, "Following Christ is not a casual or occasional practice, but a continuous commitment and way of life that applies at all times and all places."
You would agree. All times and all places. Now, yeah, I would.
Generally, you would agree with that.
I have always been critical of people who profess to be Christians, but treat their profession of Christianity like it's a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, it should be a part of your daily life. But what I find in Dallin Oaks' talk is he does the same thing that all the other leaders do. He starts off with this premise, and they take it to this very illogical and what I believe is a very unbiblical conclusion. And I have to admit, when I read the conference messages, there seems to be a huge mixed message for those that are listening in general conference, because one minute the emphasis is keeping all the commandments. You better do it if you hope to get exaltation. The next minute it's like, well, it's not something that should burden you. You should be perfect, but don't expect it today. But yet, when do they expect it? obviously from other leaders, you get the impression that you better reach it by the time you come to the end of your mortality. And that was the theme in the last Gospel Doctrine manual on Lorenzo Snow, chapter 6. It was all about being perfect. And yet it was trying to calm the members' fears by saying, well, don't expect to be perfect today. And I asked the question, and I still ask that question, how many todays do you actually have available to you as a Latter-day Saint? And when do you finally reach the end of your todays, will you have the confidence that you've done everything you're supposed to do?
I was just listening to a video on different religions, and I believe it was Jainism, where there are people who, once they have gotten rid of all of the bad karma, they have a hunger strike, and they actually will starve themselves to death because they realize if they continue on living that they will continue to have bad karma. But once they feel they've resolved all of that issue, now they can just stop eating. And for a Mormon, you have to ask yourself, when will you ever know that you have realized that you have kept what God has commanded you to keep?
Well, here's what Dallin Oaks does. Towards the end of his talk, he gives us the usual verse that we hear. How many times have we heard this thing? I often say, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard Matthew 5:48 brought up in a conversation, yeah. Dallin Oaks does it.
Well, Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He quotes that on page 98. And then he says, the next paragraph, from modern revelation, unique to the restored gospel, we know that the commandment to seek perfection is part of God the Father's plan for the salvation of his children.
Yet when we ask Latter-day Saints what they feel must be done in order to receive eternal life, and we hold them to what their scriptures have actually said, or we hold them to what their leaders have actually said, the common accusation that we get is, are you saying that we have to be perfect? I had a Mormon in Manti just not too terribly long ago who said that I was using a straw man argument because he said, hey, no Mormon believes they're perfect. And I go, I know that. And he said, no Mormon believes they need to be perfect. And I go, wait a minute. Now, that's not really true. I'm not saying that. That's what your leaders have actually said. That's what your manuals have actually taught. The conclusion they draw when I ask them these certain questions, by holding their feet to the fire of their own scriptures and the statements of their own leaders, is you cannot escape the fact that if you are doing what they say you must be doing, you will in fact be perfect. You will stop sinning. That's what repentance in the Mormon concept of things is really all about.
Isn't that what abiding a celestial law is all about, talked about in the DNC? And in fact, 70 Enrique Falabella said in his talk, The Home, the School of Life, he said, participating in the ceremony of celestial marriage is not enough. We also have to live a celestial life.
Well, when you have Oaks in that very statement we quoted earlier, when he says, for modern revelation, unique to the restored gospel, You need to notice that. Unique to the restored gospel, we know that the commandment to seek perfection is part of God the Father's plan for the salvation of his children. When they quote Matthew 5:48, when Dallin Oaks quotes Matthew 5:48, if Dallin is listening right now, I want to ask him on the air, Mr. Oaks, are you really telling us that you right now are therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect? If you are going to say that that is the type of perfection, and remember, he's ripped this from its context, because you need to go back to verse 42 to get the context of what Jesus is saying. Mm-hmm. Jesus is not implying that we are going to be sinlessly perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect. It's merely talking about our behavior with our fellow man. That's the context. As the Father shows this equality in allowing the rain to fall on the just and the unjust and so forth and so on, that's what he's asking us to do with our fellow man. It has nothing to do with the context that Mr. Oaks is giving it.
That's what we talked about earlier this week, about taking verses out of context. And here's a verse that's being pulled way out of its context to make it say something it was never meant to say.
And this is the question, and I'm serious about this. Mr. Oaks, Are you telling us, if I was to ask you, if you were in this studio on this radio show, and I was to ask you, Mr. Oaks, are you doing this? Are you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect? Would you answer yes to that question? Yes or no? And if not, when does he hope to finally accomplish this?
Maybe they'll achieve it when they're toward their death. Perhaps there's 80 and 90-year-old Mormons listening to us, and I'm sure if they were honest, though, they would realize they still are far away from this perfection.
And you listen to many of these apologists and even some of these Mormon leaders that try to give Latter-day Saints this hopefulness that somehow they can make up for lost time in the next life. And I'm saying, okay, if you want to believe that, then you have to explain to me why, in your Book of Mormon, in Alma 34, it says that you are not to procrastinate your repentance even until death. It sounds like that's what they're doing. They're procrastinating their repentance.
Let me pretend I'm Mr. Oaks, and I say that I'm striving. I'm doing my best to make it. I'm doing it one step at a time. What's your response?
I would say
to that?
That's noble. I wouldn't have a problem with that, except for the fact that that is not what Mormon scripture actually says on this subject. If you are going to be forgiven, you have to be doing everything. According to D&C 132, nevertheless, he that repents. And again, we have to use the Mormon definition of repentance, abandoning your sin. You ask any Mormon how many sins they must abandon. It's all of them. And then it goes on in section 1, verse 32, and does the commandments. How many commandments, Mr. Oaks? Are you following them all? Are you doing it as purely as your Father in heaven would do it, as the context you give for this passage? I don't think you are. But according to D&C 1, verse 32, only then are you going to be forgiven. That's the only time you're going to be forgiven. So you can't get it prior to that. And to make sure, it's also repeated again in D&C 7652 that by keeping the commandments, they might be washed and cleansed from all of their sins. Are we really to believe that Dallin Oaks is doing that?
Nobody can.
Nobody can. So there must be some sort of misinterpretation when it comes to Matthew 5:48. And I most certainly believe that's exactly what is going on here. They are misinterpreting Jesus' words.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.